Perek Dalet Mishnah Dalet until Perek Dalet Mishnah Zayin. What's the reason that a tam, an animal which has not regularly gored before, if it does damage, the owner only has to pay for half the damage, whereas a muad, the owner will have to pay for the full damage? Why? So the reason is because since he knows that his animal is irregular, he should have watched over it better. He should have realized he needs to look after it and watch over it so that it doesn't do damage more, and therefore he'll be chayav to pay more. So we see from here that the whole obligation to pay for the damage is because you should have watched over it. And therefore, shoshal pikeach, if a ox is owned by a normal person, shenogach shoshal hechcheir shoshal v'katan, and his ox gored the ox which belonged to a deaf mute, someone who can't hear or speak, or a shoter, someone who's mentally incompetent, v'katan, or a child. All these three people, if they own an ox and it's gored, then the person whose animal gores it will be chayv, obviously. However, v'shal chayr shoter v'katan, if the ox which gores, the mazik, is owned by the deaf mute, or the shoter, the person who's mental, or the child, shanogach shoshal pkeach, their ox gored a normal person's ox, then they're potter. Why? Because we can't expect them to watch over their animals. They're not competent enough to do that. They can't even look after their own actions properly, let alone their property. And therefore, they're exempt from paying any damages. However, that's only if their ox is a tam, it's not a regular. But what happens if you have an ox which is going wild and it's goring loads of people or loads of animals, but it happens to be owned by a cheirish? What? So then you'd say he's potter for all of them. So the Mishnah explains that that's not the case. If one of these three people owns an ox, and that ox gores, it gores, but it doesn't just gore once, it gores continuously. In that case, the Beis Din would set up for the owner an apotropos, which is a sort of guardian whose job it is to watch over the animals and make sure they don't gore. And whenever it gores, the people should go to Beis Din and give witness that it gored, and the Beis Din tell the apotropos to watch it carefully, just like it would normally tell the owner of the animal. And then, if it does it three times and it becomes a muad, now it can become a muad because there is someone looking over it. Once it becomes a muad, then the deaf mute or the mental person or the child will have to pay for the damages, since there is someone who can look over it now. Okay, what happens if this pakach achirish, the deaf mute, becomes normal, he can now speak and hear, he develops that ability later on in life, or nishtapa ashreiter, the mental person becomes normal, he becomes sane, vehigdala koton, or the child grows up, so now the apotropos is no longer necessary. So they become the ones responsible over the ox, and therefore, according to the first opinion, chozal esamusai, if that ox was a muad before, it now returns to being a tam, divyad meir, according to Rabbi Meir, because according to Rabbi Meir, the deaf mute could say, hey, had I been the one responsible for it, I would have watched over it better. I wouldn't have let it done the damage. So it's not my fault that it's a muad, and therefore, if now he becomes responsible only now, then it starts afresh and the animal is considered a tam. However, Rabbi Yossi argues and he says, the animal remains in its chazoka, meaning its previous status that it has had, and it remains a muad, for two reasons. Number one, it was always owned by the deaf mute. It's just that there was a middleman, but it was still always owned by the deaf mute, and therefore nothing's really changed now, so it remains a muad. And furthermore, Rabbi Yossi says that's not a good claim. You wouldn't have been able to watch over it better than the apotropos did, and it was acting on behalf of you, and therefore the animal will remain a muad, even though the responsibility to look over it returns to the actual owner. Okay, next in the Mishnah, Shor Hoitzodin, an ox of the stadium, meaning similar to the gladiators, when they would make oxen or different animals fight, and they would sort of train them to be wild and gore. So if these animals were to gore, eino chayav misa, the animal will not need to be killed. The halacha is usually if an animal gores someone and kills that person, then the animal is killed. However, if the animal was a stadium animal, it was trained to do the goring, then it's not killed. As the pasuk says, ki yigach, if the ox gores, etc. But we see that it says if the ox gores, not veloshia gechuhu, not that they make it gore and train it to gore. It's only if it does it of its own volition, and therefore if it was trained to do the goring, then the animal will not be put to death. Mishnah Hay, continuing on with this idea that if an animal gores a person and kills that person, then the owner of the animal, not only is the animal killed, but also there's a special fine which the owner has to pay. And the owner pays this fine to the person who was killed, that person's inheritors. So the mission tells us, if an animal gores a person and kills that person, muad, if the animal was a muad to kill, then the halach is that the animal is put to death, and the owner of the animal has to pay that fine to the inheritors. Now, if you think about it, there's an obvious question we need to ask. If an animal gores someone and kills that person, it's killed even after doing it once. So how can you have a case where that animal is a muad to kill? A muad means it's done it more than once. It's killed the person more more than once. So how can you ever have a muad if it should have been killed after the first time? So the Gemara explains it must be a case where they haven't yet caught the animal or something. So they haven't yet managed to put it to death, even though really it already is in that state of being chayv misa, as it were, of having to be put to death. Okay, the som, however, if the animal is a tam, it's not a regular, then although it needs to be put to death, potman akhoifer, the owner is exempt from paying the fine, because when the Torah discusses paying the kofer, it only says it with regards to a muad animal. However, the mission says, v'zeh v'zeh chayv misa, either one, whether it's a tam or a muad, the animal will have to be put to death. V'chin babein v'chin babas. Similarly, if the animal kills a boy or a girl who are under bar bas mitzvah, they're very young children, and they're exempt from mitzvahs, you might think that these punishments won't apply. So the mission tells us, no, like the Torah specifically says, even if the person killed is a very young child, the kofer, the fine, applies, and the death sentence for the animal also applies. However, nogach ever de omar, if the animal gored a servant or a maidservant who are non-Jewish, the Torah explicitly says that nosin shloshim sloim, the owner gives 30 sela, which is a fixed amount, as the fine, whereas the fine for a normal person, the kofer, which you mentioned earlier on in the Mishnah, that depends on the person. However much the person who was killed is worth, that's how much you have to pay. But when it comes to a servant, the Torah says explicitly, it's always 30 sela, bencha yofa moneh, whether the servant is worth 100 zuz, bencha yofa eladina echod, and whether the servant is only worth 1 zuz. However much the servant is worth, it's always 30 seloim as the fine, because that's what the Torah explicitly says is the fine for a non-Jewish servant. And that money would go, of course, to the servant's master. Mishnah Vav, Shosh Homes Chakich Bakoisal, an animal which was rubbing itself on a wall, Nofal Al Adam, and the wall fell on a person and killed him. So the animal wasn't trying to kill the person, it was just rubbing itself on the wall, but it inadvertently knocked down the wall, which killed a person. Or Niskav Lahagos Behema, if the animal was trying to kill an animal, let's say it was running after an animal, Vahagos Adam, and instead it killed a person, but it wasn't aiming for the person. Or La Nochri, it was intending to kill a non-Jew, Vahag when he saw, and in the end it killed a Jew. And Folim, it was intending to kill stillborns, someone who's not going to live any longer, it was born not properly and it's going to die. It was intending to kill a nofel, a stillborn, v'hoi ben kayoma, it in the end killed someone who would survive, a normal person. Potter, in all these cases, the animal is exempt. What does that mean? The animal is not killed. And the reason for all of this is because the animal was not intending to kill. Had the animal killed the person or animal it was trying to kill, it would not have got the death penalty. If an animal kills a non-Jew, it doesn't get killed. And since it didn't intend to kill the other person, it doesn't get killed. And this is learned from a posuk, because the posuk says about an animal which kills a person, that hashor yisokel, the animal is stoned to death, v'gam b'olav yumos, and its owner is also killed. Now we know that the owner of an animal which kills is definitely not killed. That would be a little harsh. So rather, what does it mean that the owner is killed? It means to compare the death of the owner of a person to the death of the animal, meaning just like if a person kills someone, that person is only killed as a punishment if the murder was deliberate, he did it on purpose. So too, only if an animal kills someone on purpose and intends to kill that person, only then will he be chayv misa. Otherwise, he will not get the death penalty. However, in all these cases, even though he doesn't get the death penalty, the owner is still chayav to pay the fine to the inheritors of the person who was killed. Mishnah Zayin, in the parsha of the Torah, when it discusses the consequence of an animal goring and killing a person, it mentions the word shur, ox or animal, mentions that word 7 times. And we learn from there, why did it have to say it 7 times? The answer is, one of the times had to say that, because that's what it's talking about. But the other 6, when it could have just said it, but it actually specified the ox, that comes to include 6 other types of oxen, which you might have thought would not get the death penalty. So the reason why it says shur again is to show us that they do get the death penalty. What are those scenarios? Shur ha'isha, if the ox is owned by a woman. Shur ha'isomer, if the ox is owned by orphans who don't have their kids, they don't have a guardian to watch over the ox. Or shur ha'apotropos, the ox of an apotropos, meaning if the orphans do have a guardian to look over it, that case as well. Shur ha'midbar, if the ox is just in the desert, it's ownerless. Shur ha'hekdesh, or if the ox is owned by the Beit HaMikdash's property. And finally, shur ha'gersh ha'meisv in ha'yoshim, if a ger, convert, dies and doesn't have any inheritors, doesn't have any family, all his relatives are non-Jewish. They don't halachically inherit any of his property, and therefore this now becomes hefker, it becomes ownerless, even though these things you might have thought don't get killed. They do get killed, and again that's because the posuk says shur 7 times, once to tell us the halacha, and 6 to include these 6 cases. However, Rabbi Huda says no. These last 3 cases, shur hamidbar, if it's in the desert, it's hefker, shur hekdesh, if it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, or shur gersh ha'meis, if it belonged to a convert who died and therefore it's now hefker, these 3 p'turim ha'misa, they don't get death penalty, lefish ein lehem bailim, because they don't have any owners and therefore there's not really any point in killing them, so the animal is not killed.